Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
We always sing the praises of Eric Zorn because he's Eric Zorn. And how are you, Eric Zorn, from the Chicago Tribune?
I'm doing okay. I'm actually not in the studio. Actually.
Wait, you're not here?
Because we see you.
No. Hold on a second. We're confused.
I'm actually watching you guys on your live stream right now, so don't try anything funny. No hand gestures.
Nothing.
He's a voyeur.
Yes, so, yes, he is. Why are you? Can you say why you're not here? Or is this top secret?
Yeah, I'm getting ready for the Songs of Good Cheer programs this week. We talked about it last week when you weren't there, and I'm coming down with a cold, so I thought it'd be best just to lay a little bit low and not risk it. So,
Protect yourself.
We still have some tickets for Wednesday night if people are interested. Go to oldtownschool.org. It's a really great sing-along. I don't know if you guys have ever been, but it's a really good thing. And we raise money for charity, and it's a really fun time. So,
some of the guys I play tennis with are actually attending this. They didn't know that I knew you, and they mentioned this to me the other day.
You know Eric Zorn?
Yeah.
He's the greatest father in all the land.
That's what they said, yeah. Yeah.
They did. Well, I'm glad that that word is spreading about that because it's not really spreading around my house. So.
That's all right. Who needs that? All right, Eric, every Monday as we talk to you, we find out what's on your mind. And this week, what's on your mind has to do with the harassment scandals, most notably Garrison Keillor. What do you think?
Well, it's a very curious story. I don't know how closely you or your listeners have followed it, but Minnesota Public Radio last week has basically erased Garrison Keillor from their archives. Now, Keillor's the guy who's been with the station or with the network, with MPR, Minnesota Public Radio, since 1969, and he's the guy who started a Prairie Home Companion, and he's written a bunch of books, and he's got a show called The Writer's Almanac, a pretty famous humorist.
Yeah,
and suddenly, sort of in one day, he was out. And it was a very vague announcement, sort of saying that it had to do with his conduct dealing with somebody who he worked with, and that was it. And he responded in a very odd way, which is that he sort of announced it first before the radio network did, saying, well, this had to do with me. I was trying to give a woman a consoling hug. And he said, and her shirt was open, and my hand touched her bare back and went up 6 inches. I don't know exactly what that means. Mm-hmm. And he said that they both then recoiled and he apologized.
His hand went up 6 inches. Let's be clear.
His hand went up.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Yeah, but when you're hugging someone, your hand goes up their back.
Not usually under their shirt. Right.
But okay. When you hug someone, your hands move a little bit, guys.
Well, I agree with that. I have never in my many years ever hugged someone and had my hand go inside their shirt by mistake.
Well, yeah. Did they have an open shirt in the back? I'm not defending him. I'm just saying.
Well, it's very weird. Well, here's the weird thing. I mean, and this is what he intimates is the source of this complaint and the source of this incredible punishment. Now, the problem is that there's no alternative narrative. Minnesota Public Radio has not come out and detailed this, and his victim has not come forward and said exactly what happened or why this is such a big deal. It's sort of logical to me that there is more to it than that. And one other thing that makes me think that there's a little bit more to it than that is another part of his response was he said, you know, I'm 75 years old. I'm not going to argue with him about this.
Hmm.
And my take on that is you should argue about it, particularly when you're 75 years old, because this is going to be your legacy if you don't fight back.
Right.
That, you know, you don't have time to repair your image and you know, do a comeback. You need to fight this, and you need to be specific about it. So the fact that he's not arguing about it, that he basically issued a couple of statements and then hasn't said much more. So there's something odd about the entire way this is handled. Now, Keillor himself is sort of an odd guy. I mean, he's socially he's fairly introverted. I've interviewed him a couple of times. I remember I went out to Greektown with him back in the 80s when he was in town doing Prairie Home Companion. Went out with his whole team, and he kind of sat there at the table. And he's actually described himself in some articles as being almost on the autism spectrum. That he's like I said, he's introverted and he doesn't make eye contact and he says he's not a huggy person. He doesn't like to touch people. And so the idea that he was doing this, it's very strange thing to get your mind around that he's the kind of guy who would do this. On the other hand, I think what we've learned from a lot of these allegations is there is no one type of person who does sexually harass people. And you don't know people that you think you might know.
Eric, I'm confused. So did he get out ahead of it because something worse is going to come up? Or is he just saying, yeah, me and myself, too, has actually done something that could be construed as harassment?
Well, I don't know. And you know, honestly, the reporting on this has been really fairly weak in terms of what's out there. The reporting in the Minneapolis papers has not been strong about this. The national papers haven't really rushed in to figure out what's going on. In the meantime, you know, like I said, they have erased Garrison Keillor's entire persona at NPR. They've said they're going to change the name of a Prairie Home Companion. He retired from it a couple of years ago, and he passed it on to a new a mandolin player, Chris Thiele. But they're getting rid of the name of that show. He has a show called The Writer's Almanac. They're getting rid of that show, and they're also getting rid of all the archives. And a columnist in the San Jose Mercury compared this to the memory hole, if you remember this, in 1984, where you know everything that was inconvenient, and every fact was inconvenient, was basically destroyed, was incinerated, so that you would have no record of the past. And to me, when it comes to art, when you're talking about Woody Allen films or you know Louis C.K.'s TV shows, or you know, movies that were produced by Harvey Weinstein, all these things, there's this effort to get rid of those things, to pretend that they never happened. And I think that's really a bad and dangerous thing to do. This is not like the Confederate monuments. This is truly going into the library, to the archives, and destroying them.
Eric, the same thing is happening over at NBC with Matt Lauer's work. A couple days ago, you could find interviews that he had done over the years easily, and now they're all but gone. You know, their plan, again, like you said, is to erase almost any evidence that he's ever been there. And Louis C.K. is like that with a couple of the cable services, where he used to go to On Demand and you could find his old shows. And now that's become very, very difficult to do.
Yeah, and I think that's wrong. I think that you can't. I mean, you can certainly judge an artist's behavior and performance, and you can certainly say we're not going to be sponsoring him in the future. But to go and, like I said, try to erase somebody's artistic legacy,
right,
strikes me as wrong, because there's so many people in history who've created art who have been people who don't meet our contemporary standards in many ways.
Right.
And
right.
I think it's okay to contextualize those and to remind those, and it's okay not to employ Kevin Spacey. I don't think it was wrong of Netflix to say we're not going to work with Kevin Spacey anymore and finish up House of Cards.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, for instance, I forget which network it was, which services it was that got rid of all of Louis C.K.'s old shows. I mean, those were really good. I mean, just because he was a bad person in some ways in his private life doesn't mean that he wasn't producing good art and good worthy art.
But then there's the argument of people saying, but then you're cashing in on a person that we now know has done nefarious things. You, by virtue of showing his material, are cashing in on it. What do you say to that?
I say that is an argument that just doesn't hold water to me, because this is art,
yeah.
and what they've created is art. And people presumably know about this. And if you were advertising and saying, hey, come see, bad guy Louis C.K. and
right.
and he's a terrible man, and look at all the evidence that he's a terrible man in these shows. If you were trying to exploit it in that way,
yeah,
I would say, yeah, that's bad. But I don't see any problem in making money in terms of commerce and the art that he's created.
Let me read, this is a comment that Garrison Keillor made the other day, and Wendy and I discussed this when he made this comment, because it seems very peculiar. He doesn't really explain this comment, but here's what Garrison Keillor said the other day. He said, he wrote, a story that I think is more interesting and more complicated than the version that NPR heard, NPR, Minnesota Public Radio, that there's more to the story than we were being told, but the way he worded it, he said there's more that is interesting and more complicated. But he's never really elaborated on that.
Yeah, and I think that, and of course, the network hasn't elaborated on it either. And right now, there are stories of, apparently there are hundreds of people up there in Minnesota who are saying they're not going to renew their annual subscriptions to NPR. I mean, they like a lot of public radio stations rely on donations, and people are angry up there because they feel like they haven't been told the full story.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, in one of Keillor's remarks, he talked about two people. And Minnesota Public Radio has only identified one person.
Oh. Oh.
So I don't even know. It's just very, very
strange.
This
is weird.
Yeah.
And this guy, like I said, he's 75 years old, and he's got this long, long history. And not everybody's a huge fan of his, of course, but he's written a lot of best-selling books, and he really transformed public radio in a lot of ways. So for him to be suddenly cast out, you'd like to know why. And this is a stance that I try to take when it comes to all these sort of allegations, which is like, I'd like to know what the allegations are,
and
what the person's defense of them is. And in a case like Matt Lauer pretty much copped to it, right? I mean, he said it's not all true, but
enough of it is true.
Yeah. So I feel confident making a judgment about that. I feel a lot less confident making any judgments about this situation.
Have you been following the Jeffrey Rush chapter in all of this?
I have not. What's going on with that?
All right, so Jeffrey Rush, fine actor, he was accused of some things, some sexual improprieties. He denied them, but then over the weekend he stepped down from his position. He's in Australia, they have something that's kind of akin to our Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, and he's kind of high up in that. And over the weekend, without much explanation, he stepped down from that role.
With his left foot?
Yes.
Wasn't he in My Left Foot?
It's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Now, you think this was an effort just to take the story out of the news? He stepped down, but...
No, I think there seems some guilt. I think there was about to be more disclosed, and he tried to get in top ahead of it by taking himself out of this job.
Damn, sorry.
But one thing that we have seen in most of these cases is that when one story comes out, when one victim comes forth, the dam sort of breaks. And you saw this with Al Franken, with, you know, the one woman came out about this incident that happened in 2006, and I think now there are like six or seven women who are saying somewhat similar things about his behavior. So the pattern emerges, and so when someone is busted for one particular incident, you sort of sit back and go, okay, well, now what's going to happen? Because these people, this tends to be a pattern with people. It tends to be the way they are, not just a total one-off thing.
Yep, so. No doubt about that. Eric Zorn is our guest. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. We'd be happy to talk to you there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Eric Zorn on the line with us from the Chicago Tribune.
Eric, here's a quick question when it comes to all these men who have... I guess at this point, just been suspected of sexual improprieties. Who rebounds off of this? Do any of these guys come back and get a career? Does any network take a chance on Matt Lauer again or Charlie Rose again? Does Louis C.K. do stand-up again? What happens with these guys down the line?
Well, R. Kelly certainly has managed to resurrect his career after those charges were leveled against him and he was acquitted at trial. If you remember that, was that 15 years ago or so now?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other examples of people who have rebounded from this particular kind of accusation. I can't really.
No, there's not too many, are there?
I think it's a really tough thing to get, which is why it is such a serious allegation, why you want to be sure if you're going to join the pack of people condemning them that the condemnation is called for.
Now, in sports, they tend to give people second and third chances. There's a lot of people in sports, in the world of sports, who have done horrible, horrible things.
You're right.
And they seem to rebound pretty easily, you know? So I don't know what the double standard is, but when you think about it, Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer have been considered to be two of the greatest interviewers on television. You'd think at some point some network would go, well, you know, 3 years have passed, 5 years have passed, we can give him another chance, but I don't know this time around.
Well, Bill, that's an excellent point, because you have these guys who are accused of domestic abuse and certainly drug problems and so on.
Dog fights.
And violent crimes and things like that in pro football and other pro sports. And because it's such a performance-based area, and you go out and if you can hit the home run or you can score all the touchdowns, whatever, then that's the measure by which you're judged. And people tend to say, well, okay, he's paid his debt to society, so to speak, and we're going to give him a second chance.
Yeah,
I think we just all like to win and we forget about it.
That's part of
when
it.
When it's convenient for us.
I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, well, you know, like I say, but the problem with that is when you take someone's work and just shove it all away, then you're not only erasing the future, you've erased the past. So.
Yeah, so true. Can we get a call in really quick, Eric? Gene is on the line and has something he would like to add to this. Hello, Gene.
Hi. The thing that pulled the rug out from under me was the Charlie Rose, the news about his exposing himself, and Mark Halperin.
That one shocked me, too.
He was my nightcap every night, and he was so cultured, and, you know, every famous person from Broadway, politics, whatever, showed up at his table for such in-depth interviews, and it's just changed my life. I can't believe that this has happened. I really, really can't. And God only knows how many more are to come. I really think the Time magazine cover ought to be about the Me Too movement, because it's going to change the way we live.
Gina, quick question, since you were such a huge fan of Charlie Rose's. If in a year another network said, well, you know, he sat on the bench for a year, but it's time to give Charlie Rose another chance, would you watch him again, or would it be hard to watch?
Him, I would. I had no connection with any of most of the others, except I would see Mark on Charlie's show. But for insights about what's going on in politics and the world and the arts and architecture and Broadway and the movies, that was my lifeline. You know, I probably would, but I would never feel the same.
It's a good point when you talk about in politics. Certainly Bill Clinton has been accused of a lot of things that are sort of similar
right.
to this. And Donald Trump has been accused of things like this. And it looks like Roy Moore is going to be elected to the Senate after being accused of things. So there's certainly second acts in politics after being accused of
it seems to be an odd situation where it works in some places and in other places. It's the end of your career.
Thank you for calling, Gene. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Bye, Gene. Thanks.
Man.
Eric, it's a crazy story and one that just keeps getting weirder and weirder as time goes on, you know?
I suspect it's not the last time we'll talk about it.
I'm positive it isn't. Thank you, Eric. Have a good week.
It's
Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune. We'll take a quick break and then we find out what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.